You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
Yep.
Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York.
Yep.
The ESPN New York app.
Yep.
Or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.
Let's go.
Okay.
I'll go to an observations if and when I want to go to an observations.
These.
Hey, I'm just here so I don't get fired.
Are knobs.
Playoffs? What are you talking about? Playoffs?
And this.
Have a nice fight, Mike.
Off.
Is knobservations.
Oh, it really is, isn't it? Happy to be here with you guys.
Sometimes that's up for debate.
You think so?
Yes.
You think I don't enjoy being here?
I think there are times where you find us to be petulant and difficult.
No, you're not difficult. You're not difficult. Sometimes you talk about obscure movies for a while, but not difficult.
Well, there's some people that are turned on by that sort of thing.
Seems that way. Seems that way.
Some that are not.
Yeah.
I find this to be very polarizing. No one's like, eh. It's either like, I hate it, don't do that ever again.
Or, I don't know if I'd use the word turned on.
Yeah.
Well, I would. Turned on. It was growth. I absolutely think
really?
So. Yeah. Uh-huh. Okay.
Hot, sticky, sweet.
So you think somewhere
I'm
out there.
I'm going to eat my advice. You got to go ahead.
You didn't even finish the sentence.
No, he can't.
Stuff your face.
You got all over Ray in the first.
It's killing me.
The first segment for. You didn't even know you were going to go to him. You know I'm going to talk to you and you're stuffing your face.
Well, they're warm now.
All the things that he learned at NYIT. Out the
Would
window.
You rather host a show with Ray or a meatball?
Sounds like the meatball.
You're right. Don't eat during
These are egg bites.
Don't eat while you're on the air. Don't play multiple sound.
I'm very comfortable.
Sound clips at the same time.
You're like,
oh, God!
You guys should respect the fact that I'm so comfortable with you that I'm able to eat.
So you think this is like a dating situation where people will hold back on how much they eat when they're getting to know someone, but now we're fully ensconced and you're just stuffing your gullet.
Yeah, this is not eating, though.
No.
This is like you're so comfortable that you're like Dutch ovening us in
it's
bed.
It's a sign that I respect you, that I'm willing to do it.
It's a sign of growth and maturity for me that I'm willing to eat on the air.
What are you saying?
You can't even
understand.
It's a sign of growth and maturity.
All right.
Indeed.
You carry on. I'm almost done.
Carry. Indeed. All right, so a lot of NFC...
I'm done. Did you want me now?
Yes, right now.
What did you want?
All right, react to what I just said.
I agree.
Okay. I said literally nothing.
All right, great.
Okay. So a lot of NFC East news. I'm going to let you guys, this is what we do here, pick your own adventure. Do you want to begin with the Giants news?
It's not going to be the Breer audio, though, is it?
No.
Okay.
No, that's Raymond's job.
Do you want to begin with the Eagles news?
Tampering news?
Or the Cowboys news?
Eagles.
There's Cowboys news?
Eagles. Tampering news.
Well, not news, but...
I mean, I would vote for the Giants news.
No, Eagles tampering news.
All right. He's scolding me.
Yes. Okay, so... Penn State. James Franklin. He's
we
their coach.
We are.
Yeah. We are getting the Eagles in trouble. Howie Roseman is... I don't know if he's in trouble. Yeah, but he might be.
Good.
So here's what James Franklin had to say to SI. He was interviewed after Saquon agreed to the deal. And Franklin was talking about the role that Penn State played in getting Saquon back to the general Philly area. He said, well, that was one of the first things that Howie said to him on the phone as part of his sales pitch. Not only the Eagles, but that the connection with Penn State and the fan base as well. Just a really cool opportunity. And also, in doing so, admitted that Howie Roseman talked to Saquon directly before the legal tampering.
You can't do that.
Take away all their picks.
It's hard to take the Giants-Eagles element out of this. Is this a big deal, though?
No.
Like, this is happening everywhere, right?
Yeah.
Well, it's one of those things. It's not a big deal until you get caught.
Is it a big deal because you went right to the player, seemingly?
No, I don't think it's a big deal at all.
It's not a big deal.
It's against the rules, though.
Okay, How did they announce all these deals?
You're supposed to speak to the agent, then the agent will speak to the player.
Okay, but it's the dirty secret that
yes.
It's fine. It's not a big deal, but don't go out and say it.
Right. Well, James Franklin, if I'm like Howie Roseman or Nick Sirianni, I'm like, what does it matter with you? Why in the world would you do that?
Yeah, I mean, trust
tree. How tone deaf you're
right
have
out
to
of
be.
The, you're right out of the trust tree. Can't tell you
anything.
Can't
tell you a thing.
Can't tell you nothing. I wonder why they don't win big games.
Is there a school that just can't compete in the big game more than Penn State? I mean, they'll beat the Indianas and the Rutgers of the world. No offense to Rutgers, but then they go up against Ohio State, Michigan. It's like you have no chance to win.
That is kind of James Franklin's.
Not only do you have no chance to win this game, we're going to the other team's like we won't even throw it. JJ McCarthy, you don't even need to play in this second half of the game. We're just going to run it down your throat 49 consecutive times.
You say that? That is massively, I don't want to say disrespectful. By the way, nobody's happier to see Jim Harbaugh leave than Ohio State and Penn State.
Yeah, that's right.
Because, well, you know.
And then Ohio State is cleaning up with guys that are transferring from Alabama, too. Or the kids from high school that don't want to go to Alabama now.
Yes. Well,
not gonna be great for Ryan Day though if he loses to Michigan again this year.
No, he'll probably be out.
Yeah,
that'll probably be it for Ryan Day. Well, I mean, I saw that Nick Saban. I think he was speaking to Congress also.
He was, yeah.
Not on this matter, but he was. He said that on his way out of the season,
the NIL stuff.
Yeah,
yeah.
Where he said approximately 70% of his exit interviews. This is before the Alabama kids knew he was leaving. Around 70% of them wanted to know. Not necessarily what their path to playing is or path to the NFL. How much will you pay me next year?
I think I was listening to some of the stuff he was saying. He said even his wife.
Yeah.
I'd hate to burn up because the roast is supposed to be tomorrow.
Yeah, save it.
But
he can't contain himself.
Let
it go.
You
want to
roast?
Let it go.
Like I really do.
Oh, roast it.
Really
go.
Do.
Is it a beautiful rump roast?
No, I'll just say like the one line. The one line that I'll say is if coaching meant that much to Nick Saban and it, like the NIL ruined so much for him, then go coach Division II or Division III. Just go down there and prove it.
Could you
just
imagine?
Go coach in the lower levels.
Could you imagine at like Kane University looking across or Montclair and seeing Nick Saban?
I don't know why Montclair has to catch a stray here.
Look at them. For the first time ever, they're not overly happy with each other.
No, I'm saying maybe they hire Nick Saban.
Maybe he comes back for like Illinois Wesleyan or something like that.
Ooh.
Yeah, that would be nice.
I do think that there is something to some of these legendary coaches walking away. I mean, I know they're older, so it kind of makes sense. But kind of all in this like 1 or 2 year period where seemingly college, unless you're one of the true big dogs, I think life was getting, you might say Alabama was one of those. I think life was getting harder for them.
Here's the problem, though.
They don't have that kind of endowment to just shell out money like that.
Yeah, but
that.
They're... Well, but it's boosters not even the are wildly
right, which is fine. They have the collectives and everything else, but there's no like once you have the kid, now all of a sudden with the transport
every year,
you gotta keep them.
Yeah, but it's every year you're trying to recruit your own players at the same time trying to recruit other players.
I heard the other day, I forget who it was. It's like you don't have to just recruit out, you know, the high school kids or the transfers anymore. You now have to re-recruit your own kids after every season.
Oh, and by the way, you say you know Alabama has the boosters. I mean, but do they have the boosters of Texas A&M?
Well, but I don't think anybody has the money that Texas has.
Yeah, but that's
has.
What you're competing with.
Right.
Texas has a legitimate payroll.
Right. Their own network.
Okay,
their own network.
If that's all you can offer, if that's all, like, usually it would be like, hey, we can offer you, say, like, we're now. It's, I can offer you, we can offer you a certain amount of money, but I'm also offering you, I'm Nick Saban. You know, like, all the things that Nick Saban can offer. Well, if 70% of the kids are just concerned about how much money you can
because
pay
because there is no pot of gold at the end of the rainbow anymore. The pot of gold happens as you're in school
right
now.
And they're not signing a contract to stay there. It'd be one thing if you said, okay, we're going to guarantee you, you know, 1.5 NIL, but they don't have to sign a contract to stay there. They can just, okay.
So you get it, then another school says, we can give you 3, and it's like, all right, I'll go there. By the way, you're listening to DPH on Rothenberg, 98.7 ESPN, WEPN-FM. Where? Where?
New York.
That's right.
Go ahead, RJ, if you build it.
I will say, though, that
if
we
you,
can...
If
we,
you touch it.
I'm sorry? I don't think that's the quote. That must be... That must.
Does that end?
That must
that's
be...
Kevin Costner.
I don't think that made the film.
Amy Madigan. Yes.
Are we talking about the right film here? I don't know. Let's just step away.
I think Frank Whaley is the kid.
If you start naming those type of actors, I think we should put an end to it.
What do you mean those type of actors?
Oh, you're just
Timothy Busfield,
like the Savannah.
Oh, Jenna Jameson's of the world?
Yeah, we shouldn't go back to the
She was very talented.
Very talented.
Name some things you thought she did well.
Janine.
Janine was on my Mount Rushmore for a while.
Did you see his head? Yeah. Did you see his head turn?
He got very excited.
It was like a dog when you have like a piece of bacon.
I mean, so I'll tell you a story.
No,
this is not a bad story. So do you remember when the Janine and
Jenna?
No. It was Janine and I think Vince Neil. There was a home movie that
boy!
Somehow got leaked.
Oh boy!
So I got my hands on this thing.
Oh, bet you did.
Yeah, I did.
Excellent choice.
And I thought to myself, you know what? It's not fair that only I get to enjoy this.
Oh, you shared it.
So I made duplicates, like 10 of them, and passed them out as gifts.
As a friend.
Real giver.
Yes. What a friend. What a guy.
Yeah.
You were that friend.
Yeah.
And you know what? I'm sure they appreciated it.
You want a copy, RJ?
No. By the way, Dave, when you were...
I do have a VHS player at home. Yeah.
When you were asked, listen to the very end of this, the noise that Dave's make. Dave, name some things you thought she did well.
Janine.
We couldn't believe that he went to Janine.
Well done.
That was a lot to handle.
A lot.
Janine and Jenna was a lot. Was a lot.
So.
The Pam and Tommy Lee vehicle was also.
Oh my
that was goodness. Very nice.
A lot.
Yeah.
For
Pamela to handle.
Good, very well endowed.
We should
yes.
talk about anything right. else. So,
it was another nice movie.
We're still going. You want to name four actors?
I don't think there were. It was just Pam and Tommy.
A nice motley crew rejoin at the top of the hour.
So, would you like to now?
Ooh, it's getting warm in here.
Would you now like to take the Eagles Avenue or the Cowboys Avenue?
We just did the Eagles.
Yeah, but there's a very Eagles specific story.
Oh.
And the Giants are still on the board as well.
No, that was the Giants. I classified that as the Giants because it was Saquon.
Cowboys. Tell me. The Cowboys.
Okay. So
that Eagle story was the Giants story?
Because it was tampering.
It involved Saquon.
Interesting.
So Dez Bryant had an interesting tweet regarding Dak Prescott. You see this?
I saw you.
He said, "Get ready to take the blame, Dak, because I really don't see no help coming your way unless a miracle happens. Everybody in the NFC East got better during free agency, but the Cowboys. The draft will not be enough."
Wow.
Cowboys had a big signing yesterday, though.
They stole our player, Eric Kendricks.
Big signing.
They stole him.
Listen, celebrate. It's the first time we've beaten San Francisco in something in 3 years. Got to take it.
See, you know,
but they had that great play where Zeke lined up as the center.
I heard a rumor they might bring Zeke back, which is, you know, listen, they've got a hole at running back and at center.
That's what you want to do. Bring back a guy who's running like a 5'9" 40.
5'9" 40.
He was actually pretty good for the Patriots.
Yeah,
he was fine, yeah.
So right now, though, where would you say, and I know there's the draft to go, who would you put atop the NFC East hierarchy?
Cowboys.
So my point is... And I know Raymond is dead inside with them. No chance? Like, I mean, we talk about them like they're like a 6-win team sometimes.
No, they consistently win 12 games. It's the playoffs that they're...
Right. They're a terrific and consistent regular season team. It's the playoffs they're allergic to.
Bray, where are you? I know you ripped them. Where are you at with your team?
They have massive holes right now along the offensive line. So I can't.
Oh, no.
No, but.
For like the last decade, it's like if you say anything about the Cowboys, he jumps you. And now anything about the Cowboys, he's the first one to pile on.
See, this is the example of why I get upset with you, because you'd like never listen to what I actually say.
Oh, no.
I said after that Monday night game, what did I say? They had a lot of things to clean up, and you mocked me the entire season for it. When things that I saw.
You don't come out of a 40-0 thrashing and say we have a lot of things to clean up. It's one of the dumber things you've ever said in your life.
Well, I do because I am
football
purist. Okay, so I think accept it.
I think what's gotten Ray and other people upset was this from a little while back.
It's not playing.
Your definition of what is all in and mine...
It doesn't help.
...might not be the same thing. But I'm trying to win the games this year with my decision.
No, but again, anybody who's shocked that the Cowboys aren't doing anything in free agency, again... doesn't pay attention. They just, you know, react to, oh, the Cowboys, they're high. They don't accomplish anything in the playoffs. They spend all the money. Like, again, I told you, Dallas has not spent money on a big free agent in over 10 years. They don't do that anymore. They're not going to. They make their bones in the
but
draft.
Why?
Because Jerry Jones and Stephen Jones are cheap. I don't like. They make more money than anyone. They make it hand over fist. And then what they do is they have it set up in a situation now where the quarterback is making a lot of money this year, is due for a contract extension, and they could just point to the salary cap, even though it's a very easy thing for them to fix, and they say, oh, well, we can't do anything because the quarterback is making too much money. They like to use the term the pie, too much of the pie. There's not enough pie to go around. We have to re-sign CD. We have to sign Micah Parsons. We have to give everybody their money, and there's not enough pie. So, conveniently...
And today's Pi Day.
Today's
bigger
pie day.
How about that?
Bigger pie. And so Dez Bryant, in a way, is kind of right. Like, this, when the season comes around and whatever goes wrong, people are not going to lash out at Jerry Jones.
No.
They're going to lash out at Dak Prescott.
Well, because he's positioned it that way. The quarterback's taking too much of the pie.
Exactly.
It's ridiculous.
Pie.
There's no way you can convince me that the Cowboys cannot spend money on free agents.
Well, no. What they're going to do is, Raymond, correct me if I'm wrong.
They're going to pay their own guys.
Right. I understand that.
But they're going to take care of their own guys, right?
But here's the thing that's killing me, because you have a prime season of CeeDee Lamb, a prime season of Micah Parsons. Your quarterback was just second in the MVP voting. He had a great season. You should be looking to re-up him, right? So you've got talent. Why are you not trying to maximize it while these guys are in their prime? I don't get it.
It doesn't make any sense, and it never will. So it's going to frustrate you forever.
That's sad.
That it really is.
No, I don't find it all that sad.
I didn't think you would.
I find it sad that Raymond is upset, but the fact that the Cowboys continue, I mean, the fact the owners come say, like, we're going to be all in and they do nothing is unbelievable.
But I told you at the time, he was full of it.
He did say that.
And again.
So you think, because you're not afraid to go after anybody. You go after Orlovsky and just there's nobody you're fearful of.
Orlovsky, by the way, because you brought me here, actually said, was it on Dan Patrick? It might have been Dan Patrick.
Right.
That they should have blown this thing up once they lost to Green Bay. Get rid of Dak.
Get rid of Dak.
Dak gone.
Well,
McCarthy
first
gone.
First of all, they can't blow it up because the way Dak's the final year of his contract, you can't. You literally can't. It was always supposed to be this way, but the when he signed the initial extension, it was always the intention that he would sign another extension this year, which I would say he's earned, right?
You would think, yeah. You would think. I mean, you can't. Right now, he's eating up almost 23% of your cap.
I had something to say. Now I have no idea what it was.
Well, that's probably wasn't tough. That important.
That's tough.
Was it an actor, actress?
Yeah. No, it was great. It was probably would have changed
adult
the entire
film
direction.
Star you like?
Do you have any egg left?
Like Christy
over?
Canyons.
Do you have any egg left?
She was excellent.
We're just naming full names now, huh?
Well, that was her name. That's her stage name. Right. Christy Canyons.
You guys go ahead.
All right.
You guys should respect the fact that I'm so comfortable with you.
So, C.J. Gardner-Johnson, you remember where he signed?
This is another Giants story.
Eagles. Yep.
Yeah. He's back on Philly.
And last year he was with the...
Lions.
Yeah. And before that he was with the...
Eagles.
Yep. So he's back with the Eagles. I think 3 years, 30 mil. Nice deal. And a little awkward it's going to be when...
I just got a great tweet that I can't read.
You got to read it.
I can't.
You got to. Clean it up.
I can't.
No,
did I get it?
It's that bad, huh?
I don't know. Go look at this. This is very funny.
Did I get it?
Come
is
on
it
over.
Me?
No, it's only me. It's very funny.
You can't tempt him like that. You can't do it.
That's very funny.
That's actually a great title.
But there's no cleaning that up.
I don't think you'd have to clean that up.
But I don't know. I get in trouble. I don't want to
I
say
could
that.
Say it. You'd probably get in trouble for saying it. That's actually a great title of the movie, though.
Great title. Right.
It seems like
it's a play on Field of Dreams.
Yeah.
No.
Oh, my God.
Kind of, yeah, a certain
I'm
kind of dream.
It, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Not so much a dry dream.
All right.
See, why go through all that trouble? Why would you go through all that trouble to try to mask and say, I can't say it, and then you say what
I didn't say it.
Yeah.
I didn't say it.
You basically did. All right. So, C.J. Gardner-Johnson.
Good luck, RJ.
Why am I even here?
He's back with the Eagles. And during his time in Detroit, he was, I think, on Twitch or one of those, one of the live streaming things where you're playing video games. And this is what he had to say. He was asked, what was your least favorite part about being in Philadelphia?
All right, my least favorite thing is the people. They're obnoxious. I can't stand the
well, that's interesting because now you're back with them.
How does that carry over? I mean, you
I
went right after
well.
The
yeah,
fan
not
base.
Well. That's not great.
So if he's great, they won't care. Huh? If he's great, they're not going to care.
He's going to be really good.
If he's not good, they'll run him out of town. Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, look what they did for Trey Turner. Who was it? Alec Baum? Or Boehm? Who was it?
When he said he didn't want to be here.
But they rallied around him.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
maybe. Also, he started hitting.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
The Trey Turner thing good. Last year where they were applauding him during his slump. Yeah. I've never seen anything like that out of Philadelphia. Maybe they're changing.
You know, that started from a sports radio like producer
mm-hmm.
that went on the air and said, instead of booing him, we should try to help him and make him the best version of himself. And then they started giving him applause and it all turned around.
I think fans actually think, and it's, I get it. I mean, it's frustration too, but they're helping the player.
I don't think so.
I think it's like we're pushing you.
No, I don't think
so.
To
be better.
I don't think. RJ, when you boo, do you think you're helping to push? I think I'm angry and I'm booing.
No, I don't usually. I'm not really.
You're not a booer?
No.
I bet you, Raymond, are you a booer?
I haven't booed in a long time.
Oh, I'm not opposed to booing.
So.
That's a great drop.
So, Sauce Gardner, we played some of it yesterday from the pivot.
I haven't booed in a long time.
So, Sauce talked about something very near and dear to the heart of
Rick. How do you do
Rick.
This, Sergeant?
Hey, we have to.
Yeah.
We must move forward.
I haven't booed in a long time.
Sauce talked about the rookie party they had this past year and how the bill was divvied up.
The workers at the food spot was just bringing food out. They was bringing platters out that's going for like $7 a pop. They brought three of them out off the rip. So that's just like 21,000 right there. So like that stuff that they just brought out that people didn't order.
What was the final number?
I don't even remember the final number. At the end, when I go to look at the tab, and I don't never be on no disrespectful junk, like especially to the vets. All the vets rock with me because they know I'm solid. You know what I'm saying? I'm always keeping it 100. So I look at the tab, I look over, I say, hey, I ain't gonna lie, I ain't paying this. And I wouldn't even on no arrogant type. It was just the principle. It came off those platters and none of the vets ordered the platters. So it's like, hey, bro, I don't know what y'all want me to tell y'all, feel me? I ain't paying this, you know what I'm saying? They could know where I'm coming from because they know I ain't trying to be on no cocky junk or nothing like that. They like, man, why they do that? You know what I'm saying? I would have looked out if they would have tried to get over on them. I ain't even going to watch somebody try to get over on my dogs. Right. You know what I'm saying? Hey, that was just unfortunate. The vets was feeling a little.
Man.
Feeling a little, you know?
Junior Seau ordered 2 bottles of Louis XIII on the way out. And took them home on me. Think about that. Dinner done.
That was going for like five.
At that time, that was about seven bands a piece. Mm. In the restaurant, he got one for the table and poured it up in shots, and he took one in the box home. God rest his soul, Junebug. Love him to death. But yeah, man, they just hit us in the head. They ain't got nice with y'all.
I know, Rick, you have similar stories of rookie party.
Well, I had two in the same year. I had one, and I was the only rookie. So I was in Chicago. They called it the Ricky Party. So that was my first one. And then when I got called up, I was just in time for the second rookie party. Yeah, it gets wild. But I mean, for the most part, guys,
you know what?
Guys have respect.
I think it's kind of gross to be sincere here. You're ordering things to take home.
Well, there's guys. There's one guy. I won't tell you his name. He ordered like a whole case of wine.
I think that's really kind of gross.
Yeah. Well, the whole thing is gross. Anyway, just the amount of money that you spent. Well, it's silly.
If you had to. Throw a number out there on what the total tab of these.
We had one. I'll give you one. We had one down in South Beach. And it was the second time we went to the same place. And the first time it got crazy. So we don't want to get. You have to pay your dues, but to a certain point, you don't want to take advantage of these young kids. But you want them like. There's a certain number that you like to kind of be around. So we said to the place, we said, hey, listen, if it gets out of control early, you got to tell us when it's this number. We got to slow this thing down.
You finished appetizers and you were at that number.
No, it was like I think we started dinner at. At 8 by 10 o'clock, we were at 66,000.
Wow.
And we're like, that's it.
How many people?
It's a whole team plus staff, like training staff and stuff.
So what, 30?
Probably not even 30. A little less
25?
Than
25?
Yeah, but guys get stupid. They're ordering like big giant bottles of Cristal or guys are walking around with expensive caviar. It's just dumb.
You're looking at, if it's say 25 people, on average, two more than $2,000 a person.
But it's mostly booze too, and it's stupid caviar.
It's really gross.
Do the vets usually jump in and throw a few bucks in?
Yeah, in those ones we did. Just because it was too much.
So and how many rookies are involved in
this? It depends.
Three?
It just depends on the year.
Right.
No, it could be, I mean, could have four, could have three, could have five.
So, and they're expected to put in 15 grand?
No. Like to a certain point, like you look at the bill, good veterans will look at the bill and be like, okay, this is how much we feel comfortable each guy paying, and the rest of us will pick up the...
Right.
Sauce just said, I mean, I don't know how many rookies the guys took out, but sounds like they picked it up.
Yeah, well, he got bailed out because the restaurant was bringing stuff that they didn't order.
It's much kinder than it used to be. Yeah.
Well, the restaurant, I mean, they probably salivated days like that, right? Like the wait staff is probably...
Oh, yeah. And they're getting huge tips. Too.
Right, exactly.
Saw Ray post this on the Twitter. Isaiah Thomas on the Draymond Green Show. You might think that water under the bridge times pass between Isaiah and Jordan and maybe they're in a better place. You'd be wrong.
Where is y'all relationship at today, and is that salvageable?
Dude, no.
Not salvageable.
No. This dude got on national television, international television, and called me a somebody who's been really good to him. And until he apologizes on international television, no conversation. You can't apologize and have a private dinner when you didn't embarrass me publicly. If you didn't mean it, say it publicly. Now, if you meant it, let it stand. I'm good with that.
Things are in a good place decades later.
Yeah, I don't know if do you get the sense that Jordan is like apologetic about it?
I don't think he cares.
He's going to continue to wait. He's taking that to the grave. I'm sorry.
No, I think Michael doesn't care, and I think if he upsets you, that's you got in his way, and he doesn't have any interest in massaging that through.
Yeah, no. Well, I think he...
No massage, no two-handed,
no
four-handed.
Four-handed, nothing.
Now, this is what you want to do, RJ?
This might take eight. Anyway.
I was listening to Spitting Chicklets, and Ryan Whitney was telling a story about it. He got a chance to play golf with Jordan down in Florida. And you're playing with Jordan.
You let him go to Vegas, we definitely not going to see him.
Some kind of game. So
he's got to gamble on it.
Right. So Buddy, I mean, he built his own golf course. So Buddy,
the ceiling is the roof.
Buddy Awitz, who played in the NHL, has become close friends with Jordan. So Witt goes down and plays with him.
Buddy Newitz?
No, a Buddy of Wits.
Oh.
Ryan Whitney's. Not Buddy Newitz. You idiot.
We are doing so well.
Are you trying to ruin the story every time?
No, I'm trying to be involved in it.
No, so anyway. So
Buddy, you're involved. You're involved.
Yeah, he played wing for the Blue Jackets for a couple of years.
I was like, I'm not familiar with Buddy Newitz.
I'm very comfortable.
Yeah, he was a real grinder.
Fourth liner.
Tough guy. He was a tough guy.
Buddy
Newitz.
Buddy Newitz.
Witsy. I don't even want to tell the story now.
You really, Buddy
you've
Newitz.
Killed all momentum.
You're really getting your stripes in the NHL. Yeah. You go toe-to-toe with Buddy.
Buddy Newitz?
Yeah,
that's
right.
That's next up for Reppy, Buddy Newitz.
Yep.
The time Buddy Newitz paid the tab at dinner.
See, Dave, because of his job and his knowledge, he'd be in a sports circle one day and he'd pass that off and somebody would be looking at him like, Buddy Newitz. And Dave would be like, you don't know Buddy Newitz is a podcast now.
Yeah, friends with Jordan, you know Buddy Newitz.
All right. How does that story wrap up?
No. So anyway, so he's playing golf with him, and Witt is a scratch golfer, so they're playing, and they get to whatever hole it was more than 18 hole, and Jordan makes a putt, and he wins the money, and looks at Witt and goes, scratch golfer? You couldn't scratch my mom's ass, is what he says to him. That's how cutthroat he is.
He does not like to lose anything.
And that's how Steve Kerr gets punched in the face.
It was a good story.
Taking an Uber to and from your own bank robbery.
Did it happen?
Next thing you know, he calls the chicken police on me.
In Florida.
The Florida Panthers, I was coaching.
Yeah, you don't care.
No, still doesn't care.
I can't get over Buddy Newitz.
Yeah, poor player he was. Really, really nice career. Got the most out of every ounce of talent he had. So this from... Nick, you know what's not smart ever? Robbing a bank.
Telling a story around Dave?
Yeah, it's tough. Liable to ruin it at any time.
Or add great levity that lasts forever.
Janine.
I was just surprised that you went there.
Yeah, I bet that's what that was.
Yeah.
So a man in a place accused of robbing a bank.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say accused, I mean he did it.
He did it.
But, really...
Was that you?
No, that was me. That was me.
So, and this is before this is before Ray's on the West Coast game tonight.
He did it.
So, hired a really good lawyer, and the lawyer somehow got him out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Said he'd used no intimidation to get the money. Anyways, He got $2,000 from this bank, but got out of it. So he's back on the street days later.
Right. Guess what he did?
A free man.
He robbed another bank.
So you know what he thinks? He goes, you know what? I got the blueprint now, and I've got the magic lawyer. I can rob banks, take the cash, and get out of it.
Did he have to return the $2,000 he got?
That's a good question.
What, was it a die pack situation?
I don't know. $2,000 is kind of a limit where it's like, you know what? You didn't take hundreds of thousands. $2,000. Maybe it's a good question. I will research that for you. However, where the story turns is, as Dave, you alluded to, you guessed right. A couple days later, you know what? I'm going to go case another bank. This time, did not get away with it. Lawyer did not get him out of it. And it was in the same town. Same guy. Same judge. In jail. Did it happen in Florida?
Did it happen in Florida?
Mm-hmm. That's a question.
Feels very Florida.
Who? I'm going to say Florida.
All right.
Well, he's saying Florida.
I'm saying Florida.
Mm. How strong do you feel about this?
Not
strong.
No.
Could we have a rare division between you two?
It's possible. I'm going to go Florida.
Yeah, I can't remember the last time
you two. I'm going Florida.
Can't remember the last time you two disagreed on this.
All right, Raymond.
I will also say Florida.
Well, you all agree. This rarely happens. You are all incorrect.
Stop it.
Illinois.
That's the first time I think we've all been wrong.
Yeah.
I don't know if this has ever happened.
Because Ray typically will go out on his own.
Yeah, he didn't, though.
No, he didn't.
I didn't have a real feel for that one.
It felt Florida to me.
I'm sure it happened. I mean, Google that. It probably did happen in Florida.
I'm sure at some point that's happened in Florida.
I'm sorry to have done this to you.
Stumped us. I don't like this feeling.
Greg from Trumbull says Buddy Nowitz is going to get into the Italian American Sports Hall of Fame.
I'm glad everyone thinks that's funny.
And DR says, breaking news, the Cowboys just signed Buddy Nowitz.
Big signing.
They have to fit it. They only get 2.8 on their salary cap, so.
What kills me is that they literally could just hit a couple buttons and free up like $15 million.
Of course. Why do that, though? Because then you have to spend it.
But they're
all in the way they want to be all in.
Exactly. I don't get it.
Jerry's all up in his yacht, hanging out.
That's right. We've signed a long snapper and a linebacker.
Nice.
On our way.
Rich Cimini's going to join us in about 7 minutes.
Good.
That's exciting.
Got a lot of questions for Rich. A lot of questions.
Well, yeah. I mean, OBJ, what's going to happen? You're going to pursue him?
Is he going to be the vice president? Don't laugh.
I texted this to you guys yesterday.
Yeah.
I was just about to take my nap. I went back and listened to that, talking about Randall Cobb and his cabinet.
Right.
I laughed out loud again.
Really?
Yeah.
So did you laugh because you were so heavily involved, or was it just very funny regardless?
I mean, subconsciously, it's probably skewing my opinion, but I thought it was because Rick was fighting it like he is now, because Rick wants to get mad at us. He recognizes there's a joke there.
He doesn't want to get mad at us.
No, he doesn't.
He doesn't think we're doing anything wrong.
I think Rick agrees with everything we're saying.
But his beloved team, he would join in with us.
But it wouldn't happen to anyone but the Jets.
Therein lies the problem.
Your team is being used.
Who would you say needs whom more right now?
The Jets need Rodgers more.
Yes.
Yes, Raymond.
Yes, we do.
They are incapable of doing anything on their own. What have they won with him yet?
So I ask you that, but if they were to part ways with him today, just like, we'll take the gajillion dollars on the dead cap, move on, then what happens?
You got to go get Justin
Fields? No. I mean with Rodgers. Like...
I don't know. Do you think teams actually run for the United States?
No, but do you think teams are? Let's even say this happened like a month ago. Are teams lining up?
No.
Is it just the end?
No. There's too much uncertainty. Well, it depends on what he's doing.
There would be a team that would bring him in. Raiders. They could use him. I think the Raiders
expect Gardner Minshew to be the starting quarterback this year.
Well, that's Rodgers isn't available right now.
That's the interesting one with Justin Fields. Especially with where
could Fields go now? Minnesota?
I mean,
I don't see them trading in the division.
I agree. So if you take Minnesota off the table, Raiders, Broncos.
What are we talking about, by the way?
Justin Fields.
No, but I mean, a day 3 pick?
Yeah, at this point, that's what it feels like.
At what point does
which is nuts to me, considering what Mac Jones just went for.
Well, at what point does the scale tip in terms of him being a bargain?
Because he's
now.
I think he's a bargain now.
If you get Justin Fields,
you have to pick up his fifth-year option, though, or not.
Well, why do you have to?
Well, you don't have to, but I mean,
if you're a team that's not spending a lot of money on quarterback right now, and you need to take a shot at somebody, and if you can get Justin Fields for like what Mac Jones went for, you should be all over that.
How about New England? I think that's an interesting one too.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I think they're listening to me.
They're everywhere, Dave.
I know you're here.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want.
Woohoo! Over here!
Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's bring in a man that knows all things happening with the Jets, and there's never a dull moment, and he is the great Rich Cimini. Hi, Rich. How are you?
Good morning, guys. How you doing? Always good to be with you.
Well, we always appreciate
lots of stuff
you.
To talk about.
I can't even believe that we have to ask the questions that sometimes we have to ask about this organization. I figure, you know, free agency would make sense. I didn't realize that we would have to talk about Aaron Rodgers potentially joining RFK's ticket and running for vice president of the United States. But is there real smoke here, or is this much ado about nothing?
Well, I mean, it's not nothing, but I don't think Jet fans should lose sleep over losing their quarterback to the campaign trail. I don't think Joe Douglas is in his war room right now lining up free agent visits for, you know, quarterbacks, or, you know, getting ready to draft a quarterback at number 10 to replace Aaron Rodgers. I don't think the Jets are too worried about it. And I think I think they'd like to have Rodgers come out and make a statement, you know, to address the situation. But he's apparently on an ayahuasca retreat in Costa Rica, which is just perfect, right? That just adds to the
bizarreness.
Yeah. Of course he is. But with Jordan Poyer, the ex Bill, current Dolphin. But it's a strange story. I never thought. I think the last time I wrote the words presidential and White House in a Jet story was when I was covering Rex Ryan's introductory press conference in 2009. When he was predicting a Super Bowl trip to the White House to celebrate. But this is a first for me for sure.
Rich, is it safe to assume, though? I mean, I know he hasn't said anything about it, but the Jets know one way or another whether or not this is something he's considering?
I don't know that for sure, Rick. I mean, it's Rodgers. He does things in mysterious ways. I think, in my own personal opinion, I think it's kind of a publicity thing. It's obviously brought a lot of attention to RFK's campaign. He's clearly looking, craving for some attention. He's an independent candidate trying to get as much as he can. And he got a 1,000-word story in the New York Times a couple of days ago, which he probably wouldn't have gotten otherwise had it not been for Rodgers and Jesse the Body Ventura. So I don't know if the Jets are totally in on the loop, because like we said, Rodgers is away. I think they like to give him his space in the off season, but like I said, just from checking in with people over there, I don't think they're alarmed at one Jets drive.
So explain this to me. He comes out and says, we have to eliminate distractions. We have to stop the leaks. I mean, all these things need to change. Maybe he should look in the mirror a little bit. Like, do you think he recognizes that he is a huge piece to all the distractions within this organization?
Yeah, it's a hypocritical comment for sure. I mean, I was standing about 10 feet away from him when he made that comment. And, you know, I applauded it at the time, but because it's a leader taking charge, you know, and coming out and, you know, laying down the law, so to speak. But here we are, you know, a few months later, and he seems to be violating his own edict. So, yeah, I think the first opportunity we get to talk to him, which probably won't be until May in OTAs, that's going to be one of the first questions I ask. And he'll probably say something like he wasn't even in the building. It was on his own time. So that would probably be his answer. But yeah, I think it's a fair criticism of him right now, given what he said.
Rich Samini joins us here on the show. Rich, how would you assess Joe Douglas so far this in free agency?
Predictably understated. I think those would be two words that I would use. You know, you knew they weren't going to spend a ton of money in free agency. First of all, they didn't have a lot of cap room to spend. I think they came in with about $26 million in cap room. And he's been doing it with some under-the-radar kind of moves. I thought the trade yesterday for Morgan Moses was really good because they get a starting right tackle for a pretty modest price, you know, a $5.5 million salary for this year. It's only a one-year deal that he's got left. And I thought the trade compensation was reasonable. So that was a good short-term fix at a modest cost. And essentially that's what Joe Douglas is doing here. And I had Jet fans are screaming for a wide receiver. They were never going to go out and pay $90 million to Calvin Ridley. That just wasn't in the cards for the Jets. It's just not how they do business, especially under these restraints. So, yeah, I think it's been a typical Joe Douglas offseason.
So Rick had an interesting question off the air before, and let me pose it to you now. He said, so you got Moses, maybe you bring in Tyron Smith, maybe you bring in Bakhtiari as like a third guy. Then can you draft receiver 10 if you do kind of fix the offensive line via free agency?
Yeah, this is like right out of the Joe Douglas playbook. It's his MO. He likes to fill the needs in free agency with like stopgap type players. And then he'll go into the draft not beholden to one glaring need. That gives him the option of taking the proverbial best player available at 10. So if one of those receivers, Adunze or Neighbors, happens to slip to 10, then they might be in position to grab a guy there. But I do believe at this very moment as we're speaking here that offensive tackle is the primary need. I do think they could sign another free agent tackle. You just mentioned two names. They bring in a guy like that, but I don't think that precludes them from drafting a tackle at 10 either.
So what happens if they don't? So they draft a tackle at 10. We don't have a second-round pick. What do we do with receiver?
Well, Rick, it's a really deep draft for receivers, so you can probably get a pretty good one in the third round.
Yep.
I mean, they're talking about historic numbers in terms of how many receivers are going to go off the board in the first 2 days of this draft. So you could probably get one in the draft in the third round. I happen to think that Joe Douglas will do everything he can to get a second-round pick. If that means maybe moving down a little bit in the first round, I could see him trying to do something like that. There are a bunch of tackles. You could probably get a tackle, at 14 or 15, who's almost as good as the guy you'd get at 10 and pick up maybe a second-round pick in the process. I think that would be something he would definitely explore. But I do think they will sign a free agent wide receiver at some point. Obviously, all the good ones are gone, but that doesn't mean he won't sign a second-tier kind of guy.
Rich, let me ask you this. Is there any – I mean, I know there's been some talk about it, but is there a real chance that Corey Davis comes out of retirement or no?
I heard that, like, last season, like around October, there were some rumblings to that effect. I think I wrote something at the time, but I have not heard that recently. He's still under the Jets' contractual – you know, they still have his rights because they put him on the reserve retired list. So, that's something to check into for me for sure, but I haven't heard that recently.
He's Rich Samini, 98.7 ESPN. So, Rich, this Beckham thing, I watched him last year. I didn't think he was very good. I know that there was some desire last season to sign him. Is there some real chance that the Jets wind up with Beckham, or is it better off to probably let that ship fly by?
Well, I think you can't rule him out, Dave. I mean, he's an FOA, which is friend of Aaron. So that means he's always in play. And they came really close to getting him last year until Baltimore blew him out of the water with $15 million. You're right. His stats were down last year, 30-something catches. But I do think his yards per catch was the highest it had been in a while. And he didn't play a whole lot. I think he was only playing about 30 snaps a game. But if you look really closely at some of his metrics, some of the analytics we have now, he wasn't that bad last year. You know, he obviously got passed over by Zay Flowers, who had a fantastic rookie year, but his metrics were not terrible. So I would not rule that out. He is a free agent now. Overnight, he became a free agent because of a technical thing in his contract. It voided. So he is now free to talk to other teams. And I wouldn't rule out the Jets. You know, he'd be an interesting guy. He was a good leader last year from people I talked to in Baltimore. Really helped the young receivers. So I would say he's a factor.
Rich, what do you expect AVT to be? Because he's telling me we had him on the show a couple of last year or this before.
Last preseason
training camp, right?
Yep.
And he said he feels most comfortable at guard. Is it your, I mean, you think that they're going to end up settling on keeping him in one spot to try to keep him healthy, maybe, and guards that spot?
Yeah, I think right now, right guard. Obviously, they got Simpson from Baltimore, who's slated in at left guard. I think the Jets feel like his best position is guard. Joe Douglas just said at the Combine a couple weeks ago that they're going to put him at one spot and not move him. I think they owe that to him. He's been moving around for the first few years. When he hasn't been injured, he's been moving. You know, and when he's playing well. He's their best lineman. And so I think right guard right now is a position for him. But he is kind of their ace in the hole. I mean, conceivably, he could play left tackle. He played, I think 80 or 90 snaps at left tackle a couple of years ago. So there is that possibility. But I think they're leaning toward guard right now, and that would be right guard.
All right, Rich, last one for me. What are you hearing about Zach Wilson currently?
Man, I mean, just crickets right now. It's you knew this was going to be a tough guy to trade. They basically gave him permission last year to go seek a trade. So we knew this was going to be an inevitable outcome here, but it's just really hard. I mean, the chairs are starting to fill up around the league. I mean, you still have Justin Fields, who hasn't found a place yet. You know, Chicago's been trying to unload him. I do think the Jets will be able to trade him at some point for probably a 2025 seventh round pick. It's going to be basically the proverbial bag of balls that they get for Zach Wilson. It's going to be really hard to find a guy. I mean, to get a quarterback who, I don't know if you can trust him as your number two. I mean, what team out there is going to give Zach Wilson their number two job after what happened last year? So he's probably going to have to go into a situation where he'll be competing for the number two job. And it's a lot of money. It's $5.5 billion. No team is going to take on that salary. So the Jets are going to have to eat some of that money to get him to another team. Maybe in Arizona. I thought Minnesota would be a possibility, but they go out and get Darnold and they'll probably draft someone now. So there's just not a lot of, I think I count on my list here, there's only about five or six more teams that are looking for veteran backups. So it's going to be hard to find him a spot.
Rich, always a pleasure to speak with you. If Aaron does run and wants you as like a press secretary, is that a role you would be willing to take on?
I'm open to all. I'm like they said, the Times said about Aaron, he's welcoming overtures. So that's an overture. I'll welcome it.
All right.
I have certain salary demands.
Of course you do. Rich, we appreciate you as always. Enjoy maybe a little downtime before things get really, really rolling with the Jets. Good stuff as always.
All right. Take care, guys. Have a good one.
Appreciate you. That, of course, is the great Rich Cimini.
I'm glad that you find
I just can't
so
believe
amusing.
That. I it's not my fault.
Well, he's not taking it that serious.
Right.
Good. But, I mean, if you decide to, like I have, you can really work yourself up into a frenzy.
Absolutely.
If you start following this and you're looking at...
But here's the thing.
What I sent you last night.
I mean, Aaron, and I know he's in Costa Rica.
Costa Rica, yeah.
All he would need to do is send out a tweet or call the Jets PR person and say, I am not doing anything with this.
But that's amazing, though. Did you hear what he said? Now my jaw almost dropped. He's like, they like to give him his space.
Right.
Well, yeah, I'd like to give you... I would like to give you space.
Right.
until it's
if I don't hear rumblings that you're like one of seven now who's maybe the leader in the clubhouse.
What?
I think they said the list was eight, and then now Jesse
no,
the
he's
body
out, apparently.
Is out, right? So that's one of seven. But yeah, no, he might be the leader.
He's already picked. The report I sent you yesterday is that
March 26th they're going to announce
right,
it in Oakland.
But he's already picked who his running mate's going to be.
Correct.
And that person has accepted. And Jesse, the body Ventura's son, said that it's not Jesse. It's not Jesse.
Right. So what we were led to believe, it was the two of them were the leaders, and Jesse's out. So connect the dots, right?
And he's doing it, and he's announcing it in Oakland.
Right. And Aaron is from it's funny you say that. I looked how far where's he from, like?
Chino.
But it's over 100 miles.
But still.
Yeah. It's weird. The whole thing is weird. But all he would have to do is send out a smoke signal. Not me. Not interested. Not happening. Not me. And he won't do it. And it's weird. 1-800-919-3776. I told you we have some giant stuff to get into. We'll do that next on 98.7 ESPN.
Chico, California. Not Chino.
I think you said Chico.
I think I meant Chico. I might have said Chino.
Oh. What are we doing here, Raymond? Mercedes-Benz?
Yes.
That's nice. All right, Mercedes-Benz of White Plains. They've done it again, winning their third consecutive Mercedes-Benz Best of the Best Dealer Recognition Award. In celebration, they're having a three-day sales event from March 14th to the 16th with special prizes. With the purchase of a new vehicle when you RSVP, visit their showroom in White Plains or explore online at mbwhiteplains.com. Mercedes-Benz of White Plains, proud member of the Pepe Auto Group, the name you've trusted since way back in 1968.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Looking for more access to the show?
Why? Because you know why.
Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
This is played in The Godfather, right, Raymond? This is the wedding scene?
The Godfather wedding scene. They play it for Mets games a lot.
They do, during the seventh inning stretch.
There you go.
Great song.
One of my real regrets is not knowing how to speak Italian.
Could you imagine how many women you would have gotten with if you knew how to speak Italian?
I don't know if it's how many women, I would love to know how to speak a second language. So then my parents are like, hey, why don't you take Latin? That'll be good.
Has that ever helped you at all?
Never.
Never even a little
maybe
bit?
Maybe potentially on a vocabulary word once or twice, but no.
Does anybody even speak Latin?
No. I can give you, I could do the... some stuff in Latin, but it doesn't mean no good.
Do you speak pig Latin?
No, not pig Latin. No. But that's what they chose.
Well, why didn't you have a say?
I don't know.
Buddy
Nowitz question.
Might speak pig Latin.
Buddy Nowitz is fluent in pig Latin.
Cheryl was like, you're taking Latin. It'll help you in your SATs.
And? What'd you get on your SATs?
I didn't take my SATs.
What do you mean you didn't take them?
I didn't have to take the SAT.
How is that possible?
I took the ACT.
Oh, the ACT. Mm-hmm. Okay.
I did well in the ACT.
What'd you get?
I don't remember what their
32,
number was.
34?
35?
That's amazing.
I told you I was smart.
Really smart.
Really smart.
35 is unbelievable. RJ, RJ, you're an SAT guy, I would imagine, right?
Yes.
What'd you do on your SATs?
Not great.
I didn't do great either.
I think 1180.
Well, that's not good.
You did better?
Yeah. But I didn't, like,
1250.
That's a good
score. I think I got like a 1280.
Oh, good.
But I mean, nowadays, kids are getting consistently over 14s.
Well, they changed the score.
Well, yeah, the format's changed.
The scoring's changed.
The scoring's not changed.
Yeah, it's not on 1600 anymore.
Of course.
It's like a 2400.
Unless you're scaling it to
Ben is in the process of doing all these things. Trust me, it's back to 1600.
Oh, well, they changed it back then.
Yes.
Okay, did that happen?
Yeah, it went away for a while.
I don't know when it happened, but it's been 1600
now for
quite some
time. Now it's back, baby. La, la, la.
1280 still is good.
It's fine. If you look at the best schools and SAT scores you need to get into those schools, you're not getting into an elite school with 1280.
No, you're not going Ivy League.
No.
But
no, you need a better, your grade point average has to be better than 4.0, too.
1280 is still taking you just based on grades, which obviously more goes into it.
Okay, I'm looking at something right now. It says, if you scored a 1350 in 2019, I'll put you in the top 10%.
I didn't score 1350.
Okay, 1280. That's still pretty good.
That's all right.
Yeah, it's not bad, but I mean, you look at me as like a genius. You would think that I would get higher than a 1280.
Well, no, you look at you as a genius.
I think 1280 is better than all right. No, it's very good.
It's not very good.
What's better, a 1280 on the SAT or a 35 on the ACT?
I think I got a 1280.
35.
Absolutely. So I'm smarter than you.
What's that, a 40 or 50? What's ACT?
No.
38.
Is that right?
No, I don't know.
I don't know. You'd have to look it up. I don't think it's out of 40. Like I have never heard of anybody that gets higher. I would guess it's out of 36. I don't think I've ever heard anybody that gets higher than a 36 on the ACT.
Yeah, 1 to 36.
So, see? That's how smart I am. I knew without even having taken the thing.
It's a shame you didn't do better than 1280.
Well, at least I did better than you.
I don't even think 1180 is not like,
at least I did better than
you. No, you did. 1180 is not good. I don't think it's like terrible.
Anthony Pusick has chimed in.
Yep.
They recently changed it back. The writing portion no longer exists. It was out of 2400. Now it's back to being 1600, and people still cared about the 1600 score even when the writing was involved.
Oh, okay.
So I guess extra 800 points for writing was really kind of irrelevant.
Because you would just go back to the 1600.
How'd you do on the math and the English?
Right.
Yeah.
By the way, this is Forbes. What do you think the average SAT score is?
Ooh, average SAT score?
Yeah, this is perspective.
1,000.
1150.
No, it's no way.
It's too high?
It might be lower than 1050. 1,000.
1028.
1028. So you're better than average?
Yeah, but I'm not looking to be average.
You're still like top 20%.
Right, you managed to achieve everything that you set out to achieve.
1210,
right.
Dave. A 1210 is in the top 25%.
Right.
Yeah, but I don't want to be in the top 25%.
You want to be in the top 1%.
I believe if I took the SAT now and studied for it, I could get over 1,500.
Strong.
How much time would you like?
I don't think that's possible.
How much time would you like?
1,500?
Yeah. No, how much time would you like?
No, you can't.
If I studied for it?
I'd
How much time do you want to study?
No offense.
I mean, Ben got a 1410 on a practice one, and he took the real one last weekend.
You got a 1,500. That would qualify you for every Ivy League school. Every single one.
You have no idea how competitive it is now. It would mean nothing.
Do you know how hard it is to get a 1,500 at an SAT?
Do you understand how smart I actually am?
I guess not.
I'm not sure you do.
I'm not sure that I do. No.
How much time do you need to study?
I don't want to do this because I don't want to spend that kind of time studying. I would need a lot of time to study.
You guys should respect the fact that I'm so comfortable with you.
1,500 would put you above the 95th percentile.
That's right. To have any chance to get into one of the elite schools, you have to get at least a 1,500.
I'm not disputing that.
Right. Or 925 save percentage.
right. What'd you get in your SATs? 7. How many
shutouts?
How many shutouts did you have in this season? 11 of 13.
You're in. And you're in. Yeah.
And you're in.
Welcome to Harvard.
It worked out for me.
You imagine if NIL money was legal?
I don't think that hockey would have been.
You don't think it would have been a lot of cash in that?
Probably not.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah. That anything you'd like?
No. I'm being serious. I don't. Were you ever approached to unethically to take things?
No.
Never.
Mm-mm.
Never. Was like,
I was only there for a year anyway.
Were you ever asked to throw a beanpot game?
Never. No.
I would never throw a beanpot game.
No, I wasn't asking you. I was like, oh, there's a car at the corner that it could be yours, or there's a $500 in this, under your mattress now. Nothing ever. Mm-hmm. Okay, good.
Yeah, no.
I wish. No.
It's good. Do you really wish, though? Would you feel kind of dirty or no?
No. Why would I feel dirty?
Greg from Trumbull says Buddy Nowitzki got a 1600 on his SATs and a 30.
That's why he gets to golf with Jordan.
That's why he's
that makes sense.
Buddy Nowitzki. USCN says you guys should all take the SAT. Whoever gets the lowest score gets a punishment.
I don't want to. I don't want to do that much studying. I don't have time.
No, that would. We'd freeze up. Somebody would freeze up. No way.
Yeah, I would.
Rick would freeze up. Yeah. Is who would freeze up?
Yeah, that or I would be like locked in. I would be locked in my room trying to study for the stupid thing, and Cassie would lose her mind.
Could you imagine that? Like, where's Dad? He's studying for the SAT. Why?
We have
why?
He's 40.
Why? Secure the seats and the memories this year from Vivid Seats. Your home for every slam dunk, every slap shot, and stolen base. Vivid Seats celebrates fandom with unbeatable rewards like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. With Vivid Seats rewards, you earn with every single purchase. From buzzer beaters to walk-off homers, Vivid Seats has a great selection and great prices on all the games that matter the most to you. Just visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats, the official ticketing partner of ESPN. Take a quick break. Come back. The big 9 o'clock hour with Stuff You Missed and 3 Stars, all ensconced on 98.7 ESPN. To hit a home run, everything needs to line up perfectly. No different than finding the person you want to marry. When the time comes to propose, you do what Michael K. did. You visit the engagement experts at London Jewelers. They'll make shopping for a ring so easy and help you hit it out of the park. Let them help you pick or design the perfect ring to fit any budget from their 2x London collection. London Jewelers is committed to getting it just right. So visit London Jewelers today at any of their 7 locations, including Americana Mall and the Mall at Short Hills. Mention Michael told you to stop on by and you now will get the very special, very elite Michael K. treatment.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN New York app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.